Whenever the time come, I'll let you know.
Hallelujah.
So, go back to what you were taught, teaching in the evenings. Can we stop that? These people are so smart. And I was told not to complain and do what I was told. So then, we will do what I'm told and I'm not going to complain. We have been trying to reprogram your way of thinking. There are so many almost truth thinking out there that has invaded, thank you, brother, the Church of the Living God, that sometimes we embrace those thoughts as if they were truth when they are not. I mean, we have spoken about several things. Today I want to deal with limitation mentality. What? Limitation mentality. You may ask, what is limitation mentality? This is the mindset which always says you're limited. You never have enough. Or if you only had more money, you could be happy and do more for God. Has anybody ever heard that? So what's the slogan for a limitation or limited mentality? I am limited by my financial status. There's a lot of people in the Church of the Living God today that tells me they can do more for God because they're limited by their financial status. Some will even say, come to the point to say that they have to have two jobs to make ends meet. Is anything wrong having two jobs? No. If you can handle that, no. But it does tell me one thing. You have a wrong lifestyle. You are living above your means. Notwithstanding, let's put this aside. Today I want to deal with the limitation mentality, limited mind. That kind of mind that says I am limited by my financial status. Therefore, if I only had more money, I could be happy. If I only had more money, I could do more for God. You know what the sad part of this is? Once they come across more money, they will do less for God because they'll get busy trying to keep the more money that they are getting. Or they will be busy trying to get new stuff that they never had before. Have you ever seen a child that loves candy? You guys don't have it this year, but back in the days, late 70s, early 80s, I used to own a candy store. All that we sold was candy. Nothing else. You come in, all the shelves. Chocolates is on the back because people would steal. And then we had some candies that was very common those days called toffee. You guys have it here too, right? My Lord. I had candy all over the place. And once somebody's birthday came and mama walked in, they go, wow. Thank you, mom. And then they don't know what they want. And they want everything in the store. Hey, young fellow. You may have a diarrhea. Take your time. And then they take one and they try, and then they take another one, they try. Sometimes they have 10 candies open, and they don't know which one to eat. Are you with me here? So many times, if we think that we cannot do too much to God, we cannot do enough to God because we don't have enough money. If God will just give us the enough money we thought we should have, we're going to be too busy like a child on a candy store. Trying to choose, what do I buy? What do I do? And you know what I mean? Because it's a defector attitude on mankind that I've got to match what he has, what she has. I've got it better. It's our way to say, hey, I'm making in life, I'm succeeding. And in many cases, God goes to the back burner. Well, today, I want to give you a few points that will actually help you to change this kind of mentality, if you have it. You may be asking, what's wrong with this way of thinking? I am limited by my financial status, so what's wrong with it? The problem with this kind of thinking is it will actually keep you from doing more for God and setting you up for a life of unhappiness. You get it? If you're only going to be happy when you have more, you're setting yourself for failure. What does that mean? In the pursuit of more, in the pursuit of money, God may go to the back burner. And when God is not on the picture, it does not take off. You know, one time I had a car dealership. I always had 10 cars in front of my house before I had a car dealership. Neighbors would get upset. Why do you need so many cars? I don't. I just like them. So it started growing. I opened a little lot. I said, Lord, if you bless this business here, I'm going to give you 25% of the profit. Within 2 years, I had 498 cars. What happened? Well, I allowed myself to be swept by the business of car selling. And ministry started going to the back burner. When they came to preach, I was more tired than anything else. God took everything away. If I'm waiting to be wealthy or to have more money to be happy, I'm setting myself for failure. So how do you do? Are you saying that I should be content working at McDonald's, making $7 an hour? Well, you should not be working at McDonald's in the first place. This is your country, and you know that the idea of having fast food jobs were for kids during their vacation. It was never planned or intended for somebody to support their family with a McDonald's job. I cannot get another job. Go back to school. Better yourself. So, preacher, how can I change this way of thinking? Number one, be happy now. Amen. Be happy now. Amen. I can't be happy with what I have. Then you're setting yourself up for failure. In the book of Psalms, chapter 112, verse 1, we find the following words. Read it with me. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commands. Stay with me here. Brother Harry, may I have now the NLT? Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. See, the first scripture said blessed. Is that correct? Second one is saying, how joyful are those who fear God. Now, give me the backslide translation, brother. Hallelujah. Blessed man, blessed woman who fear God. Are you with me so far, right? May I have the Holman Christian Standard Bible? Happy is the man who fears God. So what you're saying, preacher, be happy right now. What? Yeah. Be happy right now. When you think you need more to be happy, you program yourself to stay unhappy until you have more. Can you understand what I'm trying to say here? And this is a dangerous attitude. The truth is, when we are grateful for what we have, we will become magnetic for more. When we are happy, when we bless the Lord, when we enjoy in doing, in delighting ourselves in our God, more will come. Huh? Yeah. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. Doesn't it say so?
Yeah.
and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So be happy now with what you have. Don't wait until you have for you to be happy, because this is a dangerous place to be. Number two, recognize that God is not limited by money.
Amen.
God is not limited by money. What are you saying? Since this is true, you are not restricted or limited by money either. Because you have been created into God's image. Money is not what is limiting you. It's the wrong way of thinking. There is no, you're not limited because of your financial status. You're limited because of the wrong way of thinking, the wrong way of looking at God. He said, well, preacher, it's easy for you to say so. Well, not necessarily. It's not easy for me to say so. I'm going to give you some Bible example. It says here, hallelujah, happy is the man who fears the Lord, right? So once you fear God, be happy. Take great delight in his commandment and remain happy. Why? The Bible tells us in Exodus 16:15 that when the children of Israel were hungry, God did something about it. The Israelites took one look and said to one another, man, who? What is it? They had no idea what it was. So Moses told them, it's the bread God has given you to eat. If I am happy right now with what I have, and that need come, God has the power to make bread fall from heaven to feed his people.
Amen.
Are you with me here?
Yes.
If I'm going to wait until I have more to be happy, I'm going to be miserable. These people in the middle of the wilderness, in the desert, no bakery in there, and they're hungry for bread. The Bible said that God saw it and tell them to come tomorrow morning and pick it up. Here's the instructions. Whenever they come, pick only enough for one day what they can eat. But humans, always messing up. Some bozos took for today and for tomorrow. When they wake up in the morning, it's rotten, it's stinking. Be happy with what you have now.
Amen.
Because your God is not limited to money. Your God is not limited by money. So when the people were hungry, God was able to provide the bread. Right? Doesn't the Bible say that God will supply your needs according to his riches and glory? I'm going to show you something else today about this verse. When the people were craving for water, for them, their children, their flocks, Numbers 20:11 said, once again, God came to the rescue. Watch this. With that, Moses raised his arm and slammed his staff against the rock. Once, twice. What happened? Congregation and cattle drink it. God is not limited by money. It's unheard of that a rock will start producing water. Are you with me here?
Yes.
God will give some crazy ideas that nobody else has ever had. I imagine if Moses didn't do that and he go to the elders, you know, folks, let's call a church committee meeting right now. What are you going to look for the water? Well, I think the Lord told me for me to hit the rock. Are you insane? You cannot get water out of a rock. That's the first reaction, right? No. God is not limited by our reasoning. He's not limited by money. They hit the water and bam, water came out. Did you know that God was so creative that he spoke to Elijah, hey, get up. Get up. You're going to have a 40 days walk. I want you to go to the Valley of Kidron. Stay right there at the canyon. Drink from that water. And I'm going to send some birds to bring you some food. Huh? Yeah. I'm going to send you some ravens to bring you some food. Listen to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 4. Watch this. You can drink fresh water from the brook. God told him, I've ordered the ravens to feed you. Now let's think about this here. God is not limited to money. Isn't that right? God spoke to the ravens. Doesn't it defy common thinking?
Yeah.
He says, I've ordered the ravens to feed you. So he just, the ravens look at him, go get some food for Elijah. Yes, sir. The ravens, well, let's find food for this prophet. And they all went around, got some meat. Was it cooked? I don't know, but I do know that he ate it. So how did they do that? I don't know. But God ordered the ravens to feed him. Amen. You know what that tells me? God is not limited by money.
That's right.
And this is why I can't say that if I only had more, you know, my financial situations, you know, preacher, limits me on what I can do. My financial status limit, baloney. Listen to verse 5. Watch this. Elijah obeyed God's orders. That's the key. Elijah obeyed God's orders. What? You want me to go to the Kidron Valley on the east side of the Jordan? Yes. And drink water from there, and you're going to send what? Birds to bring my food? Do I look like a bird? No, he obeyed God's orders. He went and camped on Kerith Canyon on the other side of the Jordan. Look to verse 6. And sure enough, what happened? Isn't that gorgeous? Ravens, sure enough, the ravens brought him his meals, both breakfast and supper. Now, what did the ravens brought him as breakfast? I don't know. It's none of our business, but they sure did. And they also brought him supper. God is not limited by money. Well, you know. No, I don't know. Let me tell you something else. God not only uses animals. God can use a prominent family to bless you. Huh? God can use a prominent family to bless you. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 8, we find the following words. One day, Elisha passed through Shunem. A leading lady, did you hear the word? A leading lady of the town talked him into stopping for a meal. And then it became his custom. Whenever he passed through, he stopped for a meal. Now, a leading lady, somehow she convinced the prophet to come. Hey, come to my house. Let's grab some food. I don't know, but, you know, a leader of the town called me to eat at home. I sure will. Let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy. Verse 9 has something a little interesting. She says to her husband, I am certain, said the woman to her husband, that this man who stops by with us all the time is a holy man of God.
Amen.
She saw holiness on that guy. And look how God worked this thing out. Verse 10, why don't we add on a small room upstairs and furnish it with a bed and a desk, chair, and lamp, so that when he comes by, he can stay with us. God is not limited by money. God can use preeminent people to bless you. Listen to verse 11. And so it happened that the next time Elisha came by, he went to the room and lay down for a nap. Isn't God great? The way that God will take care of his people. So the second point is, God is not limited by money. Are we together?
Yes.
Number three, believe in the God ideas, in the God of ideas. Believe in the God of ideas. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1 through 9 says that God will give us witty inventions. These are creative ideas. Listen to Proverbs 8:1. Do you hear Lady Wisdom calling? Can you hear Madame Insight raising her voice? I find that interesting. Verse 2. She's taken her stand at first and main at the busiest intersection. 3. Right in the city square where the traffic is thickest, she shouts, "You, I'm talking to all of you, everyone out there, out here on the streets. Listen, you idiots, learn good sense. You blockheads, shape up." 6. Don't miss a word of this. I'm telling you how to live well. I'm telling you how to live at your best.
Amen.
Trust, folks, or believe in the God of ideas. Now listen to verse 7. My mouth chews and savors and relishes truth. I can't stand the taste of evil. Verse 8. You'll only hear true and right words from my mouth. Not one syllable will be twisted or screwed. Verse 9. You will recognize this as true. You, with open minds, truth, ready minds, will see it at once. 10. Prefer my life. Disciplines over chasing after money. And God knowledge over a lucrative career. Now listen to me now. We are not saying here that if you can, God gave you the ability to have a lucrative career, that you shouldn't pursue it. Are you with me here? Mm-hmm. This is not what we are saying. What we are fighting against is that mentality, that limited mentality that says, I'm limited by my financial status. This is what we are fighting against. Heavens is the limits. What we gotta do is, instead of running after money so you can do more for God and can be happy, run after God and then you have more money and be happier. Are you with me here?
Yes.
This is the point that we are trying to focus here. Verse 11 is even better. Watch the verse 11. For wisdom is better than all the trappings of wealth. Nothing you could wish for holds a candle to her. Isn't that something? So what you're saying, you can have all that you want, but you know, if you go after wisdom, you're going to have so many God-given ideas, you can become a millionaire overnight. Verse 14 is even sweeter. Good counsel and common sense are my characteristics. I am both inside and the virtue to live it out. Believe in the God of ideas. When God opens up the window of heaven, I believe he's not raining down $100 bills. He can do that if he wants. God can miraculously send you enough money to take care of a bill when you're in a jam. But contrary to what many folks, even in our congregation, believe, they had a Powerball recently. So many billions, I don't know how much it was. Tuesday morning service, we have people here scratching numbers to play the Powerball. And somebody had the guts to say, well, if I, God can make me rich. And if I make, I'll give my tithe. You will never make it. God don't need the help of the Powerball.
Amen.
And you know what is idiotic? Let's say that three people made it, and each one of them got 400 millions. Say they do. You will not put your hands on 400 millions. The government's going to pay you that money over a period of 30 years. So, if you get 1.3 millions a month, 50% goes to federal income tax. And then once you take your Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, you no longer have 600,000. You're down to 400,000, if that much. So once you take the state taxes and all locality taxes and whatnot, maybe down to 300,000 bucks. And then when you're going to buy all the toys that you want to buy, there's another 6% going to it. And then there is the worry that you have to live with, that somebody will come to take what is yours. I'd rather have wisdom. I know somebody that plays the lotto every day for 41 years right now. I ask, how many times did you hear it? Twice. How much did you get? $9 and $54. And I'm like, what an idiot. What an idiot. If you take 365 days a year, well, make it 5 days a week. 20 days times 12, 240 days times 341 years. You're talking about 10,000 days. If you put $2 every day, you spend $20,000. And you got back $5 and $9 and change. How idiotic is that? Folks, God, when he wants to bless his people, he doesn't rain down $100 bills, but God will give you ideas that it's going to surpass. God will give you new business ideas, invention. And God has a very creative way of dealing with his people. Again, I think that when he opens the door of heaven, He's raining ideas, not $100 bills. Prove it. Here we go. When Jesus needed bread, what did he do? Mark 6:37. When Jesus needed bread, he multiplied the 5 loaves that he had been given. What that means? God can multiply whatever you have right now and give you an idea to make you very wealthy. Jesus said, you do it. Fix supper for them. They replied, are you serious? You want us to go spend a fortune on food for their supper? Limited mentality, yeah? Listen to the next verse, 38. But he was quite serious. How many loaves of bread do you have? Take an inventory. That didn't take long. 5, they said, plus 2 fish. 39. Jesus got them all to sit down in groups of 50 or 100. They looked like a patchwork quilt of white flowers spread out on the green grass. Now look for the next verse. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He lifted his face to heaven in prayer, blessed, broke, and gave the bread to the disciples. And the disciples, in turn, gave it to the people. He did the same thing with the fish. Listen to the next scripture. They all ate their fill. Are you with me here? Believe in the God of ideas. You don't have to be rich to have more money or a different social status to be happier or to do more for God. Well, you know, but I still don't believe it. Well, when Jesus needed tax money, what did he do? Matthew 17:24. When Jesus needed tax money, on their arrival in Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" Verse 25. "Yes, he does," Peter replied. Then he went into the house. But before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, "What do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people they have conquered?" 26. "They tax the people they have conquered," Peter replied. "Well then," Jesus said, "the citizens are free." 27. "However, we don't want to offend these bozos. So go down to the lake and throw in a line. Open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you'll find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us." Isn't that something?
Yes.
Believe in the God of ideas. I find interesting, he said, "Peter, get your fishing rod, go to the lake, throw it. The first fish you catch, open the mouth. That's going to be enough." What's so interesting here? What was Peter? What was his occupation?
Fisherman.
He was a fisherman. So that means he knew how to catch fish, right?
Yes.
God used what Peter did as a way to bless him. God can use your skills. Whatever it is that you do right now, God can use it to bless you.
Amen.
Verse 28 is interesting. No, 28. Good. Praise God. I thought it said, and he went and he caught it. Praise God. All right, preacher. Mom was convinced. There was a time when Jesus needed wine. What did he do? He used the water. John 2. 3 days later, there was a wedding in the village of Cana in the Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Mothers. Verse 2. Jesus and his disciples were guests also. Smart groom. He invited Jesus to be in his wedding.
Amen.
That's a smart move. 2-3. When they started running low on wine at the wedding banquet, Jesus' mother told him, "They are just about out of wine." It's smart to have Jesus on the wedding, because whenever trouble comes, Jesus can fix it. Number 4. Jesus said, "Is that any of our business, mother? Yours or mine? This isn't my time. Don't push me." Verse 5. She went ahead anyway, telling the servants, "Whatever he tells you, do it." Mothers. 6. 6 stoneware pots, water pots, were there, used by the Jews for ritual washings. Each held 20 to 30 gallons. 6. If its strength is 120 gallons, if its thirst is 180 gallons, seventh. Jesus ordered the servants, fill the pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. Eight. Now fill your pitchers and take them to the host, Jesus said. And they did. Verse 9. When the host tasted the water that had become wine, he didn't know what had just happened, but the servants, of course, knew. He called out the bridegroom. Everybody I know begins with their finest wine, and after the guests have had their fill, brings in the cheap stuff. But you saved the best till now. Jesus needed wine. He uses water. So what you're trying to say? Believe on the God of ideas. The God of good ideas. He's able to take the most ordinary, mundane thing and convert it and transform it in a blessing. Amen. For you and Amen. Your family. Amen. All right, preacher, are you done with this? Almost. So what you're saying, preacher? Expect the heavens to open with angelic intervention, wisdom, ideas, hope, words of knowledge, and much, much, much more. I'm going to jump one point here. Now let me do it quick. I say, preacher, I hear what you're saying, but I don't have any idea to do anything. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. When that time in life comes that you feel more frail and you have a need and there's no way to go, get wisdom. When the offered one request from God, Solomon was asked by God, what do you want me to do for you, boy? 2 Chronicles 1:7 tells us what his answer was. That night God appeared to Solomon and said, what do you want? Ask and I'll give it to you. Solomon replied to God, you show faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me king in his place. O Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made him king of all, over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly. For who could possibly govern this great people of yours? 11. God said to Solomon, because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for and do you see what I'm trying to say you?
Yes.
The limited mind says if I wasn't limited by my financial status, I could do more for God. It is a mistake, God said, because the greatest desire of your heart is to help people, and you did not ask for money, or wealth, riches, fame, or even the death of your enemies, or long life, but rather, you ask for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people. Guess what? I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge you request. That pleased God. But then he goes, but I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame as such no other king has had before you or will ever have in the future. Are you getting the concept here? The limited mind or the limited mentality will say, well, I'm limited. I can't do much for God because of my financial status. If I only had more money, that's baloney. If you only had more wisdom, if you only had more God, you'll send along with the wisdom, the ability to get wealth, riches, and all the other good stuff. Are we still together?
Yes.
Let me speed up here because time is flying quick. And I'm having fun, the time always goes quick. Don't underestimate the power of imagination. I know it may sound strange, weird. Don't underestimate the power of imagination. We are told to cast down imaginations in 2 Corinthians 10:5, right?
Yes.
Then you say, well, then it's a contrast. You're saying that we should not underestimate the power of imagination. But a lot of people just goes beyond, they are limited and they can't see what it says. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Give me the King James here, brother. It sounds better on the King James. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The imagination that I have to have under control is the imagination that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God. You with me so far, right?
Yes.
So I am to keep under control, muzzled, the wrong imagination. That type of imagination that will try to set me away from God. Then when you go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, you find something very interesting. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or
think,
according to the power that works in us. This is the good imagination. What? What are you trying to say, preacher? It is saying that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that you and I can ask, think, or imagine. Are you with me here?
Yes.
So what you're saying, preacher? Don't underestimate the power of imagination. Brother Harry, may I have the Holman Christian Standard Bible in this verse? Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think. Again, imagination, but that was not a translation. NIV, please. Here we go. I knew I hadn't seen that. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Note, you can ask, you can think, or you can imagine. Give the Holy Spirit a chance to bring new thoughts to you that can make you wealthy. And God will make it as long as the wealth does not replace God. Be provision conscious, number 5, 6. Be provision conscious, not need conscience. What do you mean by that? Make up your mind to expect that God will provide. I'll say it again. Be provision conscious, not need conscious. What do you mean? Make up your mind to expect that God will always provide. Think about his generosity and provision rather than think on what you need or what you don't have. Are you with me here? What you're saying? Oh, I wish I had a Mercedes. Thank you, Lord, for my Honda. Thank you so much for my Honda. And forever you send, thank you for my Hyundai. You know, thank you for my Nissan. Instead of placing our mind on the things that we think we need, we should be provision conscious. We should make up our minds to expect that God will provide. So our thoughts should be on His generosity and provision rather than on what we think we need or what we don't have. Every time we give something valuable to God, we prove we are provision conscious, amen, not need conscious. Say it with me. I fear,
I reverence,
and I respect God.
Therefore,
I'm happy right now.
My present happiness
will attract more of what I need in my life.
God can work in my life
regardless of my financial status.
He is
not limited by money.
Therefore,
neither am I.
I believe God is a God of ideas.
Therefore,
I expect ideas to come to me.
Ideas that are worth more than money.
I will be a vessel of God-given ideas.
I will ask.
I will think.
I will imagine
what God can do for me.
And He will exceed my expectations
and all my imaginations.
I do believe
that
heavens will open over my life
because I choose to be
provision conscious
more than need conscious.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.